You're listening to SBS News.
Delivering their sixth biennial State of the Climate Report on Friday, climate scientists from the Bureau of Meteorology and the CSIRO confirmed what many were fearing. Australia's climate is continuing to get hotter and hotter. The country's average temperatures have now increased by 1.44 degrees since 1910, and last year was the hottest year on record. In Australia's already bushfire-prone southwest and southeast, conditions are getting drier, with rainfall in the cool season between April and October continuing to decline. The Bureau of Meteorology's Climate Environmental Prediction Services manager, Dr. Carl Braganza, says that combination of heat and dry is the perfect recipe for worsening bushfire seasons.
That shift in temperature and rainfall is partly driving a change in fire weather. What we can see in general is that across Australia, particularly the southern parts, we have a longer fire season. There's more fire weather during that season, and the most extreme fire danger days are getting more extreme. It's particularly notable in spring, so we're seeing the fire season arrive months earlier in some instances in some southern parts of the country, which obviously reduces your fuel reduction period. But it also means that along with those early season heat waves, we're seeing an earlier start to having fires in the landscape.
Much of Australia's south was devastated by bushfires last summer for those reasons. But Dr. Braganza says most of the country will be at risk of flooding this summer instead.
In contrast to the last few years where we've had really severe and protracted drought and natural drivers that have favoured drier, more hotter conditions over summer and more fire weather, we've got into La Nina now in the Pacific. La Ninas are typically associated with heavy rainfall and flooding across Australia. The last significant La Nina event in 2010-11 caused a record two-year rainfall total and widespread flooding across Australia and Cyclone Yasi. We also know that during La Nina, you tend to get slightly more tropical cyclones in the Australian region making landfall. So fingers crossed this won't be as severe as an event, but it really depends on how much sea surface temperatures warm up around Australia over spring. Those warm temperatures basically provide the moisture and the fuel for the weather systems that come over Australia.
So how are ocean temperatures around Australia tracking? The waters around the country have warmed by about 1 degree since 1910, and the frequency, intensity and duration of marine heat waves are all increasing. Australia's sea levels have also risen 25 centimetres since 1880, half of that since the 1970s, and are now expected to rise by another 3.5 centimetres per decade. Research Director of the CSIRO's Climate Science Centre, Dr. Jackie Brown, says rising sea levels can be attributed to two things: melting ice caps and thermal expansion.
So as the water warms, it expands, and that contributes to sea level rise. So if we move to the next slide and have a look at heat content, this is a measure of the amount of heat being absorbed into the ocean over time. Now, the oceans take up around 90% of the extra energy from climate change, and it's one of the very clear signals we have around how climate change is happening for the globe. So if you grab your ruler and head down to the beach, put your ruler at the edge of where you think the high tide level is and have a look what another 25 centimetres might mean, because 25 centimetres up can be a very long way inshore. And then even more confronting, what would a metre of sea level rise look like?
Another thing the oceans can tell us is how levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide, or CO2, are changing. CO2 levels were once increasing by 10 parts per million per century, but Dr. Brown says they've increased by 23 parts per million in the last decade alone.
One question we get a lot here is 2020 was pretty tough with COVID. We saw a lot of companies closing down, people staying at home. What did that do to the carbon dioxide signal? And sadly, although carbon dioxide did slow down, we still saw an increase in the amount of carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere. And that slowdown really is indistinguishable from the background variability. Another way to think about this is, if you've been eating junk food for 10 years and then you go on a diet for one day, you jump on the scales the next morning expecting to see some change, drop a dress size. It's not that simple. This is about a very long-term change. And I think the the big challenge for our children and grandchildren will be how to flatten this curve.
The next State of the Climate Report is due to be released in 2022. Claudia Farhart, SBS News.